Well, hello. Yes, I'm Richard Lorenz, and I'm going to tell you my life story. Okay, I was born on Saturday, March 7th, 1942, in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. It's a town about 30,000 people, and it was a comfortable place. At the time, we could travel all around the city and never had to worry about safety issues that we do today. I was the second of four children. I have three sisters, so I was the only brother, and that meant I could actually get away with practically murder. And my sisters never liked me for that particular reason. Was raised Roman Catholic, and in my younger days, I was, throughout grade school, I was an altar boy. I was a Cub Scout for 4 years, the full 4 years. In fact, my mother was a den leader and started up the Cub Scouts in our parish to give us boys a club to go to so that we'd stay out of trouble a bit. So I ended up being a den leader. I got the Weeblos merit badge, which is the highest in Cub Scouting, and Order of the Arrow badge. Then I was a Boy Scout for 4 years. I ended up being a patrol leader again, and ended up being an Eagle Scout. I think mainly because most of my friends were gung-ho and got their Eagle, were working for their Eagle Scout merit badges. So I said, well, why not? So I did too. I played accordion, got into the music in my early years. When I got into high school, I was starting cornet, but they needed a French horn, so they switched me to French horn. So in high school and college, I played in the band and the orchestras there for with my French horn. I played chess, learned that when I was 14 at a summer camp, and went back the next year to the same summer camp, but was able to beat the guy that taught me regularly. And I did that through freshman college, I should say, but then I had to give that up and actually study for the rest of my college career. Collected stamps, and interesting, I sprained my right ankle, in my youth, I sprained my right ankle multiple times. And I broke each elbow once. It seemed that something happened every 2 years. So that's an interesting karmic entanglement there. So as I said, I was raised Catholic. I went to a Catholic grade school in St. Joseph Parish in Fond du Lac. And I went to a Catholic high school, St. Mary's Springs. And... then, going through my education now, I went to Marquette University, and we'll get to that a little bit more later on. I went to a Catholic university, and while I was in there, I picked up, I was staying with some engineering students, and they were gung-ho into computers and engineering things. I was rooming with them. And they talked me into coming down there, and I thought, okay, well, you know, this programming thing, maybe it'll be handy someday. So I picked up a manual that was sitting there and looked at Fortran and taught myself how to program. So, well, it may come in handy someday. And, as it turns out, I got a job in graduate school, helping a professor with programming. I did my thesis with a programming project and was actually hired as much for programming as I was for my degree. So that did come in handy. So I got a Bachelor of Arts in Physics and Math in 1965, and then I went on I also have at this time in 65, June 12th, 1965, I got married. I guess that's an education too. Ended up with four children, five grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren at the moment. So I got my master's in science, in MS in physics in 1967. I think it was officially conferred in 68, February. And I was planning to get my PhD, but by then we had about 1.5 children, and we figured, well, it might be time to earn some money. So I ended up going to one interview, got one job offer, and took one job. So there I was. We'll get to the jobs later. Okay, while I was in college, another thing interesting was mandatory speech classes. I hated speech. In fact, I hated getting up in front of anyone, or any group, I should say, and talking. It was all through school, especially college. So in my first mandatory class, we had five mandatory speeches, and I got out of two of them. So I only had to give two. I got a C for that, but that was fine. I didn't have to talk to people. And then the second semester, mandatory, there were also five. I had to give all five, but because he wouldn't let it go. And I thought I had done it, because the last day of class I still wasn't ready and didn't give it to the class. And he said, well, you have to come after and give it to me. I said, oh, I can handle that one person. Okay, fine. So I dusted off a speech and gave it to him. I think that was another C. So as far as community service in general, I was a Cub Master for 3 years while my boys were in Cub Scouts, and that was interesting. I took a safe job as treasurer so I could be in the corner and feel I was doing something and wouldn't get called on for anything else. But then the Cub Master left, and I had to... Actually, I was standing there, everybody stepped back, and there I was, and I was Cub Master. At any rate, Sunday school teacher for 3 years in fifth and eighth grades in Catholic schools, and I also, while we were in a condominium, I was on the board of directors as a treasurer for 3 years. Okay, in my career... I was a physicist. I got hired by the Naval Ordnance Laboratory in Washington, D.C. and got into weapon effects. So there was nuclear weapon effects, conventional weapon effects. Basically, the group I was in weapon safety. So that was where in handling weapons and shipping them and so forth. And so that's where I was focused. I was a computer programmer. I was running and designing large-scale finite difference and finite element computer programs, robot little programs. I was involved in nuclear reactor containment studies for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, along with my lead. And one thing I did is developed a new long-range air blast propagation prediction model. And then I got hired by the Boeing company. I says, what does an airplane company want with a weapons expert? Well, they had their long-range missiles that they were trying to sell, and they needed somebody to take care of this parasitic weight and volume in the front, which was the warhead. So that's what I was doing. I ended up being a computer programmer after I got out of that, database administrator, which I also picked up on the side because I actually touched something in a database one time and figured out a problem, and then the regular programmer left to have a baby, and she didn't want to come back, and there I was. So I was the expert and became an administrator. And also a software tester. In December 2013, I retired, and I've told people in the past, I really have to get a job so I can go somewhere and rest. Okay, now let's talk about the spiritual side of things. So on a section here, I have pre-ascended masters. I was always very spiritual as far back as I can remember. I was especially attracted to Mother Mary, Jesus, and St. Francis of Assisi. There were periods when I would regularly give special devotions, such as the Rosary, the Little Office of the Blessed Virgin Mary, or even certain penances. Most of the time I felt inadequate, that I should be doing better, and that I was somehow failing in life. Yet there were times when I deeply felt the love of God for me and knew that there was still hope for me. So I was confirmed. I took the name of Francis. Like I said, I like Francis of Assisi. And I even joined the Third Order of St. Francis with some friends of mine and took the name of Thomas. So from middle grade school, I felt the calling to be a priest. In high school, I chose to become a Jesuit. I entered St. Bonaventure Seminary following my freshman year at Marquette University, and I enjoyed immensely my time at the seminary. At that time, I was wrestling with some internal conflicts and finally gave in to the will of God. This was interesting. It happened. I was halfway up the staircase and at the first landing, and I stopped and finally gave in to the will of God. And then the following day, I realized that my conflicts were resolved, and I no longer felt the calling to be a priest. When I told this to my spiritual advisor, I suddenly found myself traveling home on a bus after a mere 28 days in the seminary. That was it. And I feel the hand of El Moria in all of this. One day while in high school, interesting incident. I was on 5th Street in Fond du Lac. I just stopped and prayed with every fiber of my being, just about in tears. Oh God, test me any way you desire, yet don't try my faith. I never wanted to deny my Catholic faith. Boy, I think God laughed pretty hard about that, and I was sure in for a surprise. Because years later, a friend brought me a book and asked if there was any truth in it. It was by Eileen Sullivan, who channeled spirits, who typed through her and described their experience in the afterlife. After much thought, I decided, well, truth is truth wherever it is found, and knowing what to expect in the afterlife might be handy, or helpful at any rate. So, surrounding myself with as much spiritual protection as possible, I began reading. The main message was, about the only message, there is life after death. Okay, well, that's simple. Nothing controversial there. So I looked for another book. Never did find another one by her. But I found one by Ruth Montgomery. And that book said essentially the same thing, plus one additional concept. And I went through a series of books like this. Each one said the same thing as the ones in the past, plus one additional thing. So looking back at all this, I feel that if I had read these books out of order, I would have stopped reading such books altogether. I finally ran into the concept of reincarnation, and for me, this was a big stumbling block. And, I said, if I reject this, then I should reject everything else I've got from these sources. And if I kept this, and if I kept everything else, then I should keep this. So what was I supposed to do? Well, I spent a long time, considerable time, meditating and researching on this issue. Finally, after I found out that the Catholic Church had never made an ex cathedra pronouncement on reincarnation and realized that it made perfect sense, I was very relieved and continued my reading, especially through Ruth Montgomery and Edgar Casey. Finally, one day I was looking for books in a used bookstore. I found Elizabeth Kerr Prophet's Prayer and Meditation by Jesus and Kuthumi. I felt in my heart that this was a true teaching. Yet how could I do this? The family finds out, everything will hit the fan, since they believe that anything outside the Catholic Church is wrong. I know. I'll be a closet Sheila and follow these teachings in secret. And within 3 months, I realized that I had reached the plateau. I could go no further spiritually on this path unless I practiced it openly, went down to local teaching center, which was in D.C., District of Columbia, and knocked on the door. So, one dark and stormy night, I drove down to the local teaching center and knocked on the door. And everything did hit the fan. There was great turmoil in my family. My wife was stunned. One of my children said, "If Dad doesn't believe in the Catholic Church, how can we believe?" Well, real deep faith there. Another admitted that he was never sure that there was a God or not. All right. Everything came out. It was only after a Catholic marriage encounter weekend that my wife was finally convinced that I still loved her and the family, that I would not run away, give away all our money, shave my head, and join that cult in California. We agreed we loved each other and that each of us was free to follow our own beliefs. So the first live dictation I experienced was by the Divine Director. A teaching I heard is that the first dictation is by one of the Ascended Masters, by one of one's Ascended Master sponsors. Wow, I feel humbled. So in the local Seattle Teaching Center for the Summit Lighthouse, I picked up again on the side AV operator for service. I was an AV operator because at some of these services, there was hardly anybody there. I went regularly to them, and so I picked up and became an AV operator. And I also published, I was a newsletter editor and publisher when it was still in a printed form and mailed out. And after Mrs. Prophet retired from actively running the Summit Lighthouse, I became confused about what was going on Summit Lighthouse. While Mrs. Prophet had been gradually giving more authority and independence to local teaching centers, the new leadership was slowly taking it back, and many good and stalwart individuals that I knew and respected were being excommunicated for speaking out again about various policies enacted by the new leadership. This was confusing me. There were many dissatisfied individuals in the Summit Lighthouse. I took a 6-month sabbatical from active participation to try to sort things out. I finally realized that I was doing nothing active for the Masters, and if the Summit Lighthouse was still the best Ascended Master organization, I had better get back to doing something. At this point, someone told me about David Lewis and the Heart Center, which I'll get into in a little bit. So I made a point of declaring my belief and membership in the Heart Center to the Summit Lighthouse leadership in a four-page letter dated July 4th. Interesting. Independence Day, 2005. In due time, I was formally excommunicated from the Summit Lighthouse. Oh, well. Now, Heart Center. I got copies of Lonello's 33 heart streams that David Lewis sent to the Summit Lighthouse leadership, explaining their desire and need to use David as their new messenger. So again, like I found Elizabeth Clare Prophet's book, I armed myself with all the spiritual protection I could muster, and I began to carefully read them. By the time I was halfway done, I realized that these messages were authentic. They really resonated in the heart, and that David was the real deal. Since the Summit Lighthouse leadership had rejected these messages, the Masters had started the new Heart Center movement, and I duly checked out the Heart Center and joined up. And while I was there, and for the Heart Center, now I've been a broadcaster for, since I joined till 2010. 2010, I kind of lost my broadcasting space when one of my sons moved back in here, so there's no real good place that I can regularly set up and talk and broadcast. And I've been a local Heart Center directive in Seattle since 2006, and Hope database administrator since 2007. And we're working on redesigning the Hope database. Hopefully that'll be soon. I just have to make it a priority. And I've been just since February this year, I've been a main council member. Okay, I finally ran out of excuses not to be. Okay.
Richard, we love your stories, and we're running out of time. However, I noticed that you missed one very important talent that you have, and I was wondering if you might share it just for less than a minute, and that is, how do people speak underwater? Because you are an underwater speaker expert.
Well, you want me to do that. Okay, just a second. Here's my speakers. Okay, I wanted to do one more spiritual insight here. Okay. The many personal blessings and anointings I have received, especially during events, have made me aware of the deep love and care the Masters have for my life stream, and, well, even see it by my hand. Here's my underwater talking. But I'd like to finish this one off, too. So, the many personal and blessing anointments I've received, especially during events, and that's why I say go to events, have made me aware of the deep love and care the Masters have for my life stream and allude to the close connection that we have had in past lifetimes. The Masters obviously have more faith in me than I do. This inspires and encourages me to look deeply into myself, to connect with God in my heart, and to find the good that the Masters see. Current project of mine is to see and feel God in and around me at all times, to see and feel God in and around me, all those I interact with, and to see and feel God in and around all creation. All sense of separation must go. So thank you, Kathleen, for this opportunity to address community.
Thank you, Richard. We certainly appreciate your stories and love all of your insights that you have given us. We'll say bye for now and look forward to hearing from you another time.
All right.
Welcome you back to broadcasting whenever it comes. Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.